Mitchell Painter is with us this morning from the Rutherford County Agricultural Extension Service. So if you have a question for Rachel, give us a call, 615-893-1450, 615-893-1450. I understand there's some things that are people can be learning right now, garden basics, the library classes, things of that sort. All of that is just sort of ramping up for the season.
Yes, it is. So the library classes are coming up first. So the Master Gardeners offer library classes at both the Murfreesboro and Smyrna Library. And so the Murfreesboro Library here, just right next door, their classes are the first Saturday of each month, and those begin at 9 a.m. And they typically run until about 10, so it's just an hour. And it's a great way to just go learn from the Master Gardeners, and they're also available to answer questions anytime you have them. So go and learn from them this year. And again, you can go ahead and go to that the first Saturday of each month. So the next one coming up is on February 1st, and that topic is going to be pruning. So again, I just mentioned, you know, time for pruning is, you know, mid-February, late February, early March. So go and learn from them how to properly prune things so that you're not, you know, making mistakes when you go to do that. And so Ron and Kay Blakeney, they will be teaching that class for us, two of our Master Gardeners. And so I think it'll be a great class. So go and learn from them. Again, the library classes here, the Lineball Library here in Murfreesboro, those classes are the first Saturday of each month. And again, they start at 9 a.m., which is right when the library opens. So be there, ready to learn. And then you still have the rest of your Saturday. So it's a great way to go in and learn in the morning and then go off and do whatever you need to do. And I know you mentioned garden basics. That actually we moved back this year. So based on feedback, February was too early for people to feel like they were in the gardening mood. So we moved that back until March this year. So applications are still open for that. And garden basics is a 5-week course. And so you have topics on Thursday nights from 6 to 9 p.m. at the extension office. And you learn just the basics, but we go into a little bit of detail. So it's more in-depth than the library classes are, and you have certain nights based on, you know, different topics on each night. So the first night is about soil, then we go into vegetable gardening, then we go into ornamental gardening, and then pollinators and pruning, and then the very last night, you'll receive your soil test back. So you'll receive your report from Nashville, and we will go over that and what it means and what you can do. So how to fertilize properly and pesticide safety. So you'll learn a lot just in that 5-week course. And that does cost $50, but that includes your soil test. So that's a $15 value. And then, of course, you're learning from the Master Gardeners and Extension Agents. So Mitchell Moat and I will both be teaching a class during that Garden Basics course this year. And we think it's a really great opportunity for people that may not want to actually become a Master Gardener themselves and volunteer. They don't have time for that, but they do want to learn the basics, and they want to learn it in depth so that they have a clear understanding of what's going on.
So the opening date for Garden Basics has been moved to March.
Yes, typically it's in February, and a lot of people just said that was so early, which February really is when you should be learning and getting ready, but March, they said they would go and learn it on Thursday, and then they would have that weekend to get it done. So
the weather will be hopefully
better. Yeah, hopefully in the gardening mood a little bit more by then.
Well, we have a text here from a listener who's already in the gardening mood. She's ready to do something, and the question is, when do you trim back rose bushes?
So rose bushes, you know, most like any other thing, you would want to be trimming those back mid-February is good. But basically, roses have a lot of issues right now. So I'm wondering why she wants to trim them in particular. So I've heard from a lot of people that want to trim their rose bushes because they didn't see the proper flowering last year. And maybe it was malformed a little bit. So if that's what's going on, then we need to talk. So I want to see a photo of that. But that's what I'm saying. A lot of people are having some issues with their roses. So rose rosette is a major disease right now. And you can Google that, look that up, and look at some photos. But that's a major issue. So if that is why you are pruning, then the entire plant actually needs to be removed. So I would not go and prune. You're going to spread that disease even more by doing so. So if you have any issues going on with your rose before you start pruning on it, let's look at it and see what we can do.
Now, you talked about spreading the disease. Mm-hmm. If you already have rose rosette, are you afraid of spreading it through the plant? Are you going to get rid of the plant, or what are you going
to
do?
Yeah, you actually need to get rid of the entire plant. There's nothing you can do to bring it back to make it look better than it does right now. And it spreads through a tiny little mite, an aerified mite. And that thing can float in the wind. It can be moved around. If you put the plant and it already has those mites on it, if you put it in the back of your truck or on the trailer and drive it across town, then you've just spread those all over town. So that's what I'm saying. We need to be careful with this and hopefully keep it from spreading anymore. But it is here. It's very prevalent. It's on a lot of rose bushes. So that's why I wanted to mention it and make sure she knew, that, you know, if that's the reason you're pruning, it's not going to look any better no matter how much you prune it. So let's look at that and see what we're working with.
All righty. Our phone number is 615-893-1450. You can talk or text, just like this person found out with texting about the roses.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to text us more information about your roses, give us a text, 615-893-1450. And if you get rid of the rose bush and you really like having a rose bush there, should you put another one in, or is it the ground?
No. It's not that it's stuck in the ground, but if it's in that area, then it'll more than likely come back. So we're actually not recommended that anyone plant any roses anytime in the near future, just because the chances of getting it are so high. So I would not suggest putting a rose back in that area. If you do have roses and you don't think they have it yet, then please take some photos and send them to us, and we can tell you how to control that and how to keep from getting it, hopefully. So they're doing a lot of research on that here in Tennessee and trying to figure out what we can do about it. But in Crossville, they have over 1,000 rose bushes, and they're trying to figure it out for us. So hopefully they will.
1,000 that are bad?
Just 1,000 roses. They brought the mites in to see which ones might be resistant to this disease.
Yeah.
And things like that. So they are working on it. They found some things out. So again, if you have rose bushes and they really are near and dear to your heart, then we might need to make some preventative measures to hopefully not get that.
Now, are there certain roses, if you love roses, are there certain roses that you can put out without the fear of getting the disease?
No, they really haven't found any that are completely not susceptible that I know of. And so, I mean, everyone thought that the knockout roses wouldn't get anything, and they actually are getting this the worst just because so many people put so many knockout roses in. So truly, I'm not sure, but not that I know of. So any kind of roses, I believe, can get this.
Okay. Our phone number again, 615-893-1450. Talk or text, 615-893-1450. A person just sent us a text saying that they're starting to get some weeds and things of that sort and popping up. It's green, but they are popping up bigger than ever. What can they do? Is this the time to put out pre-emergence?
Well, if they see them popping up, then it's too late for a pre-emergent. A pre-emergent means that you are putting that down so that the weed seed will not germinate. So that's what a pre-emergent means. So if you're seeing a weed, then a pre-emergent's not going to do anything about that weed because it's already there. So then you would need a post-emergent because it's already emerged. So that's the difference in those. But if you do have some weeds and you want to figure out how to control them, feel free to bring us a sample into the office, and we'd be happy to look at it with you and tell you what it is and then how to control it. So okay. It's hard to know what to tell her to do without knowing what's there.
Out of curiosity, since you bring up the pre- and post-emergence, if you put out a post-emergence, would it also work on something that hasn't come up yet?
No.
Strictly what's already out?
Yes, so that post-emergent, you're spraying it onto the foliage, and that is how it's killing it. So that's not going to do anything for a summer weed that's not here yet, a warm season. So that's why people put out a pre-emergent and a post-emergent.
So no way to kill two birds with one stone.
No, mm-mm. I mean, you might find something that has a pre-emergent and a post-emergent in the same product. So that might be an option. But But no, that's not how a post-emergent works. So again, a pre-emergent, if you're already seeing it, then putting down a pre-emergent isn't going to do anything for that particular weed because it's already emerged.
Another text here, person says, we just moved and I love to have a garden. And I noticed that the house that we've moved into obviously had a garden at some point, but it looks like it may have been a while. What should I do to be getting ready? Is this the time to do something?
Yes, now is definitely the time to do something. And that's great that you have a garden area to start getting into. Number one, I would look up and see when there's sunlight on that garden. So the people might have abandoned this garden effort because there wasn't enough sunlight in that area. So there's an app, I forgot what it's called, but it tells you where the sunlight is at all times of the day for different times of the year. So you can look that up and try to see. You literally hold your phone up to the sky and it tells you at what time the sun would be there, what times of the year. So that's pretty neat. And you can try to figure out, would this site get enough sunlight? So again, I wonder why these people abandoned their garden efforts. Maybe it's other things, they couldn't handle it anymore or just moving. But try to figure that out. Maybe you need to move the garden site. So I would caution before you get ready to really put in a lot of hard labor, figure out maybe we need to move this before we get started. So look at the garden site, make sure there's proper drainage. You don't want standing water, and you want plenty of sunlight. So, 6 to 8 hours of sunlight at least. So look for that, make sure that's going to happen. And otherwise, you might want to move it to somewhere else. Also, make sure that you can get water there. So make sure, there's a way for you to get a hose to that location. Maybe you need to go buy a longer one, something like that. So make sure you have all the necessities first. Then, if that's all good to go, then start pulling things out, that are dead. If they don't have any disease signs or anything like that, then you can compost those things. But otherwise, just clean it out, get it ready to go. The more that you can do that now, the better you're going to be later. So try to clean that out. And make sure that the soil is friable, which just means workable, fluffy. So work that soil up and then try to plan out, again, where you want to put what. So if you like to eat cucumbers, then make sure you put those in a good spot. Some people plant things and they think, why did I plant this? I don't even like to eat it. So make sure you plan out, the things that you like to eat, make sure you're putting them in your garden. And again, just make sure you're planning out where things need to go. So look up what grows well together, things like that.
So this app that you were talking about, that sounds mm-hmm. fascinating.
It is, yeah. It's
pretty so neat. You stand where the garden is, and it takes a GPS reading, it sounds mm-hmm. like. And from that point, it'll tell you where it is in reference to the sun, and would that be a good place for the garden?
Yeah. Oh, I found it. It's called Sunseeker.
Sunseeker.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, Sunseeker. And so that's going to tell you again where the sun is in the position of, different times of the year. Because, of course, in the winter, we don't have as much sunlight. So it's going to tell you when you would have sunlight to that spot.
All righty. Our phone number is 615-893-1450. Learning about new things. The Sunseeker. Oh, that sounds cool. Rachel Painter is with us from the Rutherford County Agricultural Extension Service. We're going to pause for just a moment. We'll be back and take more of your questions at 615-893-1450. The focus today, lawns and gardens. Spring is around the corner.
I'm Peter Demas, inviting you to eat with our family at Demas's Restaurant. There are so many ways that people give gifts these days, and a lot of times the simplest solution is just getting gift cards to their favorite spots. You don't have to worry about sizes, you don't have to worry about what they like. Gift cards to Demas's is great. It's great whether you want to give to teachers. Gift cards are one of my favorite things. I encourage you to get gift cards from us. This is Peter Demas, and I'm inviting your family to come eat with my family at Demas's Restaurant at 1115 Northwest Broad Street in Murfreesboro.
Hi, this is Amanda from Animal City. Wanted to invite you to come shop at Murfreesboro's only locally owned and family-run full-line pet store. A lot of folks are surprised when they come see us for the first time to find out how big the store really is. Animal City has 2 floors full of the best pets and only the best products for them. Come see us at Animal City and let our 30 years of experience benefit you and your pet. This is Amanda from Animal City, 919 Northwest Broad Street in Murfreesboro.
Well, good morning. Still heavy traffic out here, but it's been moving fairly decent on 24 westbound here at Walden Road, up by Sam Ridley, on Sam Ridley, coming out of Smyrna, and still got quite a bit of traffic flow. It's just busy now. 41 continuing inbound Murfreesboro Pike. Hey, buying or selling a home, call Nikisha and Tony Tate at Exit Master Realty. The Tate team, calls 615-554-9795. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
The weather now brought to you by First National Bank of Murfreesboro.
We'll see a few scattered rain showers here this afternoon. A cloudy sky conditions, a high in the upper 40s. Southeast winds between 5 and 10 miles per hour. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on News Radio WGNS. Currently, it's 38.
Experience real hometown banking. I'm Shelley Rigsby, manager of First National Bank of Murfreesboro. You're treated special at First National Bank of Murfreesboro. You get full banking services, plus enjoy cookies and a cup of coffee. Discover the difference in hometown banking at First National Bank of Murfreesboro. The Bank Murfreesboro calls first. First National Bank of Murfreesboro, 2230 Mercury Boulevard. Member FDIC.
The Daikin Fit from Precision Air for your home's heating and air system. No money down and financing starting as low as $89 a month. Call Precision Air. 615-834-3777. Online at precisionairtn.com.
If you have something to buy, sell, or trade, call me. Weekday mornings at 7:50 for Swap and Shop.
WGNS, AM, FM, and online.
We are back talking lawns and gardens. It's just a few weeks from springtime. Keep saying it to yourself. When the temperature is in the 20s outside, we need to say that more often. Rachel Painter is with us from the Rutherford County Agricultural Extension Service. And I want to mention that they're on John R. Rice Boulevard, which is next to Paws, where you get pets, and just down the street from Sam's. And I mention that because they have all sorts of services over there. Mm-hmm. One of those that you need to take advantage of is having your soil tested. Mm-hmm. How important is that?
It's really important because, again, I know that we say this all the time, but it's kind of like going to the doctor. And so, you know, when you want to have something fixed, if something's wrong, or if you're, you know, you have an annual checkup, you go to the doctor and they give you an exam and they try to figure out what is currently going on before they give any recommendations. And so that's exactly what, the same concept is, at least, is what we're doing here. So you want to get a soil test, and, basically you send that soil into the lab in Nashville, and they're going to give you, a current snapshot of what your soil is at currently, and then recommendations based on what you want to do. So if you want to grow a cool season grass, you would put that crop code in, and they're going to tell you exactly what to do and when. And by that I mean they're going to tell you what kind of fertilizer to apply if necessary, and how much. And then they're going to tell you, you know, around what time of the year. So they're going to tell you to apply, you know, maybe a pound of 10-10-10 in April, or, you know, that's a simplified example, but that's exactly what they're going to tell you, is what to apply and when and how much. And so that takes all the guesswork out of it. A lot of people want to, you know, an immediate answer, and they just want to be told exactly what to do. And so that's what we can do here with a soil test. So it does cost $15, but you're going to save that in the long run by knowing exactly what to do. So again, to take a soil test, you can call us for more information on that. But you go around your property and take different samples from different locations. So maybe 8 to 10 different locations, dig down about 6 inches and get a little bit of soil, put that into a plastic bucket, and make sure you don't have any debris in there. So no grass or rocks or sticks, and take that out if you do. And then go around to another location and get, again, 6 inches down. And then you mix those all together so that we are getting a representative sample of the entire lawn or garden area. And then we're going to send that into our lab in Nashville. And you need about a cup and a half of soil, 2 cups of soil now. So they have increased that, just so you're aware. But we're going to send that into Nashville, and it costs $15 again. And they are going to send you back results in about 2 weeks.
Now, do you need a different soil sample or a different test for each area of your yard? Like if you want to have a garden and then you're also concerned about the grass, what should you do to make it grow better?
You only need one soil test as long as you have not amended the soil in a certain area that you're trying to test for. So, for instance, some people have raised beds and they have completely put in there a totally different soil than what is present in their lawn. So if you've done that, then you're testing two completely different soils. So, you know, if you have a garden area and you've tilled that up and you've been adding compost to it every year, or you've been adding different soil to it every year or something like that, then I would recommend two different tests, just because you've changed that soil so much that it's nothing like your other soil that's in your yard. So soil tests are good for up to 10 acres as long as you're testing, you know, generally the same kind of soil, if you haven't done anything necessarily to it.
Okay. Our phone number is 615-893-1450, 615-893-1450. A listener writes that they're tired of their old landscape and they're ready to make some changes as far as trees and shrubs and flowers. Mm-hmm. Is this the right time? If not, when is the right time?
Yeah, so the best time to plant things is in the fall or in the spring. So you want to plant things when they're dormant. And by planting them when they're dormant, they can focus on their root system instead of trying to leaf out. So now would be a great time to get started doing that. And so I would, you know, again, plan out what you want, draw it out, sketch it out, look up plants that do well in our area. We do have a list of those recommendations. So if you wanted to email me or even come to the extension office, again, at 315 John R. Rice Boulevard, we can print that out for you. And it's just a list of recommended plants and suggested substitutes. So it has on there plants that do not do well in our area that you would need to avoid, and then it has a list of plants that we do recommend for our area that generally do well here in our environment. So I would definitely suggest looking into that before you purchase anything. And again, you can take that list with you to the nursery and walk around and look and see what you personally like and what you want to see in your landscaping. But again, plan that out. Don't plant, you know, a large tree or shrub that's going to get too tall, too close to your house. So plan out what these plants are going to look like when they are at their mature size.
And I guess in thinking about this, if you've just moved to the area, you don't know what will grow best in our soil here and with our climate. Even if you say, well, I grew up in the South, we just moved here from Mississippi, Alabama, whatever. Things, even though the temperatures may be similar, different things grow there, I guess.
Yeah, so we are in different USDA zones. So, you know, definitely, again, come to our office, get some help before you get started. So, again, look into what will grow well here. And I really recommend doing that for anything, before you plant anything, just because it's better to know from the start that, no, this plant does not do well in this area, before you go and spend money and purchasing that plant and your time and energy and effort planting that plant, and then it's just not going to thrive. So it might survive, but it might not thrive. And even if you really, truly love a plant, if you're putting it in and it's just not meant for this area, then it's not going to do well. It's not going to make you happy because it's not going to look its best. So it'd be better to get a plant that's going to do well in this area, just because it's going to look its best, it's going to thrive, and it's going to, you know, hopefully make you happier than if you were struggling to keep something else alive.
Rachel, here's a person who sent us a text that's saying that they are seeing different clumps popping up in their backyard, and the yard is soft, and every time they walk on it, they feel like they're going to squish down. In earlier years, in other places, they knew they had moles, but they said, surely we don't have moles at this time of year. Can you get moles at this time of year?
I don't know. I've never been asked that question. I don't see why you could not.
Okay. So they're still around.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know if they hibernate. Are they like bears? I'm not sure.
I don't know.
I'm not a wildlife specialist. I mean, I'm not sure why they couldn't be alive. I don't know where else they're supposed to go. I would say you could have moles. I'm not sure if they're as active in the winter as they are in the summer. Just because that's when their food is active. So, I'm not sure, actually. That's a good question. But I would think that they're still around. I don't think that they migrate away from Tennessee. So I would say you could definitely still have moles. I'm not sure if they're as active in the winter, but I would, look into some bait. So there's some things called a mole bait, and you have to stick that down into the soil and completely cover it up. So you would go around and mash down all of those little mounds so that you know where they are currently moving. So, you don't know if they're active or not either if you haven't mashed those down. So go ahead and go around and stomp those down so that you know if they are currently moving around in your yard. And then if they are, then go to one of those areas and then put down one of these mole baits in there. And again, you have to completely cover it up. They can't see any sunlight coming out around that bait. Mm-hmm. So shove it down in there, stomp it down, make sure you've compacted that back down, and then hopefully they will consume that bait.
And I just got a text from a listener who said, yes, moles are active. Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you today? Good to have you with us today.
It's good to be with you again, Bart. Yeah. I'm thinking that the moles, they can go year-round, man. Mm-hmm. I know good and well my yard. I mean, they're trimming on my yard. And, yeah, we've been down here about 40 years. And I tell you the truth, they'll tear your yard up.
Yeah,
they don't have no fear about the weather. No.
Have you come up with a good way to control them?
Yeah.
Send them over somewhere else.
Yes.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you for calling and cluing us in on that.
Mm-hmm.
You have a good day. Bye-bye. And I found something else on Google. It says a common misconception is moles hibernate over winter. Mm. They do not.
Yeah.
Instead, they mostly remain underground in their complex of burrows, continuing to feed on soil insects. Mm-hmm. They are likely much deeper in the soil than they are in the summer. But I guess maybe they too. Maybe we should be looking at moles instead of the groundhog as to when winter is going to. Maybe they're coming to the surface because they know something.
Yeah, we've been looking at the wrong animal this whole time.
Yeah. So,
yeah. I didn't think they migrated or anything like that. I didn't know where they would have gone to,
It'd be slow anyway.
Exactly.
Where would
they
go?
Yeah, exactly. They'd finally hit a wall at some point, I'm sure. But, so again, go around and stomp down those mole little mounds so that you can see where they're actively living. And then that's where you want to be putting that bait. So again, put the bait down in the ground. That's the best method they've found. Used to when I was little, I remember walking around the yard with my grandmother putting chewing gum down in the holes.
Yeah, I remember hearing that.
And that actually, now that I've learned this, does nothing. So at least we had fun, though,
Yeah. It was juicy fruit, wasn't it?
Yes, exactly. Juicy fruit gum.
Kind.
All that wasted gum I could have been eating.
Now, I also ask the internet system here, is that what time are moles active? Because I'm thinking, is there a more active and a less active? It says moles are not necessarily more or less active at any time during the day or night or year. Current research suggests that moles sleep and work in four-hour shifts.
They
are more active during quiet periods, such as early morning or late evening. More active.
Mm. Okay.
So
they take naps, like little siestas.
Yeah, little four-hour groups of time. There. Maybe we should learn something from the moles.
I think so. That would be nice.
Was it moles that we heard back in the early days that women would get them and because their fur was so soft and they would use them for powders for their face?
Oh, mole I fur. Do not know. I haven't heard of that. That sounds interesting.
I mean, maybe back in
way
the
back
1800s or so. If anybody knows, probably somebody over at Oakland's Mansion, they might know that.
We need to know.
We're inquiring minds. 615-893-1450. We probably could do a show on
moles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And does
Mitchell,
anybody?
Yeah, Mitchell typically teaches about moles, but I do not
That's
know
right,
that he
does.
Includes in his class if they were used for makeup brushes or not. I will have to tell him to add that.
That would be, because somebody may want to
yes,
do that.
They might need to know.
Yeah. I mean, is there another use for a mole?
I don't know.
What
to
do
eat
they?
Our gum. That's their.
That's it.
Yeah.
Do they turn the soil for us? Do they do good?
They do open up the soil. They aerate the soil because they're putting tunnels down there. But, I mean, that's not really good because they are wreaking havoc on the soil just because they are turning it up so much and messing up your yard aesthetically. So, not really. They can do some good just because they're breaking up the hard clay sometimes. But generally, I would say that their cons are bigger than their pros.
Okay, we've got several responses here now.
Oh, good.
A person says, yes, that is true about the soft
makeup.
Fur and everything.
Mm.
And then here's a totally different question going in a different direction. I've noticed dirt hills throughout town in various landscapes. Could they be ant hills?
Yes, I will let you know. I went on a site visit to look at some arborvitaes and Leland cypresses, which were dying, of course. And
you say that, why do you say that?
They are just, Leland cypresses are going to die at some point, all of them.
I mean, that's one that you would not
yes,
recommend.
Yes, that is on our not recommended list, of course. And I was looking at this tree so intently, I did not even notice that there was fire ants crawling up my leg. And I will
fire
let you
ants.
Know, yes, mm-hmm, I will let you know they do bite, for sure, and they hurt. And so you should be very careful if you do see those.
This time of year.
Yes, they were active this time of year, I guess, just because it never got cold enough. So they do kind of calm down in the winter. But, I mean, it was warm that day. This was last couple weeks ago.
So
it was very warm outside, you know. And so they will bite. So be careful. Don't go and kick the mound or anything if that is what you're seeing. And they are around town for sure. So be very careful. Don't let your pets, you know, get into them either. That can be pretty bad. And the bites do swell up. They create little pus-filled, you know, things on your legs where they bit you. So that can, you know, be pretty bad. Some people are very allergic and don't know it. So be very careful if that's what you're seeing. I don't recommend getting close to them, of course.
I don't remember fire ants when I was growing up as a kid. Mm-hmm. Have we always had them here in this area?
I'm not sure about always, but I know that they did get much worse whenever we've had some really bad flooding going around just because they move. I remember back when we had that large flood. When was 2012?
12, yeah, that's what came to mind. Yeah.
And a lot of them came into town. So I remember that being on the news. Fire ants coming in through those floodwaters and other things floating in. So that can be a big issue. But yes, they are around town. That probably is what you're seeing. And again, be very, very careful.
Had they normally been in sandy areas prior to floating in on the floodwaters?
I don't know. There are different types of fire ants for sure. There's red and black ones, and then there's a hybrid. So I'm not sure.
Good morning. You're on WGNS with Rachel Painter. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
Good.
This is Mary Craybrook.
Hi, Mary.
The reason I'm calling, I have the brown ones.
Oh.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And they tears you up.
She found out just like I did.
And up after I called, and they said they can to the fangs.
Hmm.
Now, Mary, did you grow up in this area?
Oh, yeah, I'm a Rupert County bone.
Okay, now, do you remember fire ants as a kid?
That's right.
Oh, you do? Okay, because I don't remember.
I remember
ants, but the fire ants are...
Because I'm 84 years old.
Well, you're just a kid then.
Yeah, exactly.
That's it.
Remember that TV show, Life Begins at 80?
There you go.
Yes, you're just starting out.
There you go.
Mary, thank you for telling us about your ants.
You're very welcome.
Mm-hmm. You have a good day. And Mary's word is stay away from
them. Yes.
Yeah,
it sounds like she's had personal experience with them as well. Yeah.
Now, we've got another mole fancier listening in.
We have lots of mole people today.
And they are telling us about they eat grubs in the soil.
Yes,
so
they do.
That's a good thing. That they do.
They do eat the grubs. Yeah. So, yeah, they do that for us. But, again, I don't know that their pros outweigh their cons.
We got some more phone calls. We'll be back and catch those in a moment. If you're on the line, hold on.
We're News Radio WGNS 100.5, 101.9, 1450. Online and on your phone at WGNSradio.com.
Hi, this is Tina Fox at the Rutherford Farmers Co-op Farm and Home Center. It's cold, and if you're needing the perfect clothing, we have all of our Carhartt clothing that'll keep you warm and our muck boots for your feet. Come visit our gift department. We have a wide selection of gifts. Keep those furry or feather friends warm and fed. We have a great selection of pet and bird items. Come visit us at your Rutherford Farmers Co-op, 985 Middle Tennessee Boulevard, just off of South Church. And as always, you don't have to be a member to shop with us.
A nagging hip, neck pain, back or shoulder tension.
It's better to see a physical therapist to solve the problem early before it becomes a full-blown problem for the person.
Amir, the physical therapist at Star Physical Therapy on Rutherford Boulevard, next to Nacho's in front of Walmart.
We'll see a few scattered rain showers here this afternoon. A cloudy sky, conditions a high in the upper 40s. Southeast winds between 5 and 10 miles per hour. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on News Radio WGNS. Currently, it's 38.
This is Sean Brown at Tire World on Broad Street. Did you know we specialize in commercial and fleet business? We're equipped to handle all of your company's automotive needs. Download our Tire World app today for free oil changes and electronic coupons. Come by today for all of your automotive needs. Online at tireworld.us.
From the tallest tower in the city limits of Murfreesboro to every radio in the land, WGNS AM/FM is everywhere you need us to be.
This is the Mole Patrol. We got a new purpose in life.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take another call. Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you today?
I'm doing fine. 4-H come in Rutherford County probably 1995 to 2005. I have a small farm in the Christiana area, and I probably hadn't had them over 15 years. At one time, they didn't want hay coming into Tennessee out of Alabama,
mm-hmm.
because they had the fear of those ants coming in on hay.
Mm-hmm.
And the armadillos, they tell me, eat the far ants, but they don't go deep enough to destroy the mounds.
Hmm.
Now, I'll hang up and listen.
So let me ask you, do you think that the ants came in from sandy area, sandy soils? Oh, I guess not.
He's
okay.
Out. Yeah.
But armadillos certainly came from sandy areas.
Yes, and they have been moving up here. You know, now we can see them dead on the side of the road and things like that. So the armadillos are definitely coming in.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe because of the fire ants. Don't know. I mean, that's their food source. So
you know why they're dead? Somebody told me. I don't know if it's true.
Is this
or not.
A joke?
No,
I hope
it's
so.
Not a joke.
Oh, okay.
This is serious stuff. That they're evidently not real smart.
Mm.
They'll be trying to cross the road,
mm-hmm.
and as a car drives over them, not on them,
mm-hmm.
but over them, their reaction is to jump.
Oh.
And so they
and
jump up and hit the car,
okay.
and it kills them.
I thought it was going to be a why did the armadillo cross the road
joke. Well,
that's
a good one. Do you have one of those?
I do not. I hope someone listening does, because I would like to hear one.
Tune in the morning, and I bet Brian Barrett and John
we'll
Dickens,
and
they'll do the dad joke will be about armadillos.
Oh, good. I hope so. I love a good joke.
So if you have a good armadillo joke, share it with Brian. He'll be on at 10 o'clock this morning. Our number is 615-893-1450, and you can talk or text. Got a text here. They say be careful for those armadillos that they spread disease.
Yes, I have heard that.
Let's take another call. Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are
you? Hey, Bart, just a really quick funny story. Back in the early 90s, my granddad drove an 18-wheeler in rural West Kentucky and picked up an armadillo in Texas and brought it back to the Paducah area, but a smaller town, and left it there. And boy, it was the talk of the town because everybody was talking about armadillos showing up. And he didn't tell anybody until about 10 years later, but thought that was a really funny story. We even talked about that at his funeral. You guys keep up the good work. We love listening to you.
Thanks again. You have a good one. So that may have been the start of the armadillos.
It's his fault.
His grandfather and father, yeah.
Yeah. So,
We're almost out of time. Before we leave today, let's go over some of these things once again that are coming up. Garden basics. That has been, the start time has been moved to a more garden-friendly time.
March, it's 5 weeks. And again, $50. We are taking applications for that right now. So make sure you find us for that. The application is online on our website at rutherford.tennessee.edu. And that is under our Master Gardener tab under Agriculture. You can also just come into the Extension office at any time and fill out that application with us. The library classes are also going on. So those are the first Saturday of each month here in Murfreesboro. And the Smyrna ones are the second Saturday. So the first ones here again, February 1st is going to be your next class offered at the Limeball Library at 9 a.m. on February 1st from the Master Gardeners. We also have Small Fruits Day. So if you're interested in growing brambles or blueberries, so that would be blackberries or raspberries or blueberries, go ahead and sign up for our Small Fruits Day. That's March 12th. And that's from 9 a.m. until 2 p.m. That is $10, and that includes lunch. And we'll be learning from our UT horticulture specialist about growing blueberries, everything to do with that, and then also growing blackberries and raspberries, which are called brambles. Our Junior Gardener Camp, we've already got that on the schedule this year, and the theme is sprouting. And that is June 17th through the 19th. So it's a three-day camp. It's from 8 a.m. until noon each of those days. And so it's a three-day camp to learn all about gardening from our Master Gardeners. And again, I think we'll have a really good time this year with that. So this will be our second year doing a Junior Gardener Camp. And we hope that you'll go ahead and put that on your schedule and sign up your children.
Okay. And then these are all ready. Small Fruits Day, March 12th. You can register now. And your camp, which that was interesting that you were telling us about that camp.
Yes. Yeah. Last year we did that. And the last day the kids had a blast. We did a scavenger hunt at the farmer's market. So we really put in a lot, pack in a lot to those 3 days. And this year we've got a lot of fun things planned. We just met yesterday and planned out the entire camp. So we're really excited about that. And we hope to get the word out soon and hopefully have some kids start signing up. So we'll be taking third through sixth grade. So we're really excited about that. And you can go ahead and again sign up for that if your children are interested, June 17th through the 19th.
And once again, where do you bring the soil samples and how much soil? You said we need more now.
Yes, I would go ahead and a lot of people just bring in a full, you know, Ziploc baggie, gallon size baggie or a half a gallon size bag. And then that way you can just fill up the entire box. So we do need to fill the entire box. And again, that's about in between a cup and a half to 2 cups. I'm not exactly sure on that measurement, but they did increase the soil size box. So be sure to bring in plenty of soil. And again, try to make sure it's dry. We don't want a mud cake in there. So yes, you can bring it to our office, 315 John I. Rice Boulevard, the Rutherford County Extension Office.
Rachel Painter from the Rutherford County Agricultural Extension Service with us today. Rachel, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Truman's next, right here on your good neighbor station, WGNS Murfreesboro.